Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 566. Just a minute. I have to word that right in ChatGPT. We've got some, well, we're going to talk about ChatGPT. We're going to laugh about ChatGPT, and we're going to give you maybe some new ways to use ChatGPT. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm good. We've been having a blast pre-show, and I think it's going to continue into the show because... just because.
We love computers.
We do. It's, and being middle school focused and sometimes bringing out that middle school brain is... a whole lot of fun. So I know we've got some things coming up, and we're going to see where this goes and how much we want to share some of the things we've just done. Because there are some things that go in the show and some things that do not go in the show.
There's a fine line between the two.
There is. There absolutely is. Hey, there's also a fine line between the FBI and searching. And the FBI recently searched Santa's workshop. You know why?
Oh, yeah? No.
They had probable cause. Clause? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I got it. You know. It's a cat joke, right?
No, it's a little elfin magic.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
My neighbor thinks it's rude when I spy on his garden.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on the fence. Okay. I got one for you. Okay, big on geography, so here we go.
Sure. Okay.
England does not have a kidney bank.
I did not know that.
But it does have a Liverpool.
Ooh.
I like this one. I like this one so, so much.
That's going to be good when we talk about Liverman.
Yeah. I really worry about the future of the calendar.
You do?
Yeah, its days are certainly numbered.
Indeed. Indeed.
And finally, and I saved this one for last specifically. Do you know why the Romans eat so much Dutch sauce?
I didn't even know there was Dutch sauce. So no, I don't know.
Because there's no place like Rome for the Hollandaise.
Aww.
And now I am remembered, and now I am reminded of, there's a stand-up comedian who does a bit about abbreviating the states. And it is hilarious. It's Gary, I don't remember his last name right now, but he has a bit about abbreviating the states and how the states went to two-letter abbreviations. Mm-hmm. I will warn you, you can't really show it with the kids without a little bit of editing because there is a swear word in there. But it is hilarious. And he tells the story really, really well. It's a really good example of joke story structure, like how you structure a joke. Mm-hmm. But he does a bit about that. And in the bit is included, the guy asks for egg Benedict with holidays sauce. And he says, wait, did you just say holidays? So, yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. So, I know we have one of the big things is that's in education circles right now and being talked about quite a bit is ChatGPT. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yes,
but
we are.
Before we do that, I thought maybe we'd take just a little, we'd kind of go out of this world first.
Yeah.
And this is looking at Mars. So I thought the best person to do this, though, would be not me.
Yeah.
The wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski. Oh, so here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski in the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bitlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the November-December 2022 issue of ScienceScope, a magazine for middle school science teachers published by the National Science Teaching Association. And I read the section Scope on the Skies, written by Bob Riddle. And he wrote an article entitled, Where on Earth is Mars? And he wrote that the day is coming when a crewed mission sets down on Mars and becomes the second group of humans to be boots on another world. But in the meantime, there's plenty to do in preparation for a crewed mission to the red planet. The crew should be able to practice living and working in conditions similar to what they would experience on Mars. Although an indoor simulation is possible, it would be best to find places on our planet that are like places on the surface of Mars, those with little to no humidity, cold temperatures, sand, red rocks, and perhaps a high altitude to simulate the very thin Martian atmosphere. So where on Earth could we find Mars analogs or Mars-like places? The surface conditions on Mars that a crewed mission might experience depend on the location of their landing and the current Martian season. The latter is an important consideration because Mars has an orbital period almost twice that of the Earth, and Mars also has an elliptically shaped orbit, more so than the Earth's orbital shape. The Martian year may include dust storms that encircle the globe and extreme ranges in temperature depending on which hemisphere, northern or southern. The Atacama Desert in the South American country of Chile has been studied for several years as an analog to conditions on the Martian surface. The Atacama Desert is the driest desert in the world due to its location between the Andes and the Pacific Ocean, and how that combination prevents moisture-laden air to rarely reach the desert. Mars has no ozone layer in its atmosphere, so the surface of Mars is unprotected from ultraviolet radiation from the sun. In a similar way, the Atacama Desert receives UV radiation at a higher amount than any other location on the Earth. While the Atacama Desert climate is Mars-like, the one place on our planet that is most Mars-like is Devon Island, the largest uninhabited island on Earth. No one lives there permanently. However, because of the Mars-like surface conditions, Devon Island has hosted numerous Mars simulations involving living and working on Mars. Specifically, the Mars analog missions are conducted in Houghton Crater, a 14-mile-wide impact crater created by a meteorite approximately 23 million years ago during the Oligocene. Devon Island is located at approximately 80 degrees north in Baffin Bay and is one of several islands belonging to the Queen Elizabeth Islands. Its elevation, its dry and cold air temperatures, as well as its rocky surface make the Houghton Crater a realistic Mars analog, at least on Earth. It may be hard to picture Antarctica as ice-free, but that is the case in an area west of McMurdo Sound, known as the McMurdo Dry Valleys, a series of somewhat parallel valleys. This is an area of extreme conditions with very cold and very dry conditions, and with a rocky surface that has little to no snow and ice cover because of the surrounding mountains blocking any moisture-laden air from reaching the valleys. Like the Houghton Crater area, the McMurdo Dry Valleys resemble the surface conditions on Mars. Unlike Mars, at least as far as we know, there is even bacterial life in the dry valleys. So these are the places on Earth where on Earth is Mars. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
So we've been having a good time this morning. So much so that we're starting a lot later than usual.
Yeah, we are. Sorry about that.
And we even ended up including a friend of ours, the terrific and thoughtful Mr. Bob Harrison. Mm-hmm. Included him on some of these things because I know he's been looking at AI and how it's going to impact things and what's going on as well. But let's start with kind of a little bit of the reports from the front lines. I finished up my AI art project using DiffusionV with the seventh graders. And I think, and the art teacher expressed that it was a wonderful experience. It was very successful. The kids played around with DiffusionV. We talked about like why we were using DiffusionV instead of some of the other choices, because there are, you know, there's DALL-E, there's Midjourney, there's Stable Diffusion, and DiffusionV is based off of Stable Diffusion. But we talked about, you know, they could put it on their laptop. It wouldn't go anywhere else. And naturally, I used Moodle to collect some of their sample, some of their examples, and had them write a reflection piece. And the art teacher wants to do this with eighth grade. She wants to tweak some things, which is pretty normal. But she's like, okay, so we're going to do this with eighth grade. We're just ready after the break. And and I'm like, okay. not because of the class. It's just like, this is a time commitment, but it's okay. You know, I'm perfectly good with it. I do need to look at my schedule and make sure I don't have things already scheduled that would interfere with the timing. But I'm looking forward to it and that. One of the things I thought was fascinating is we really kind of naturally finished up on kind of Thursday. She had gone off to a field trip, so there was a substitute in the room with me. And so I had given them an assignment, and they were working on it and all of that. And then Friday was like, I talked to our teacher on Thursday and said, you know, they're pretty well finished up. There's, you know, all right. And so Friday, and she's like, well, that's fine. That's cool. And so Friday was going to be an open drawing day. So Friday I go in, I say, okay, you know, if you need to finish up anything, if you have any problems, let me know. I did have to teach them how to make images smaller. So in DiffusionV, when you export a image, it exports as a PNG. And PNGs are really nice. However, PNGs are also larger. So I showed them how to open it in preview and export it as a JPEG. So it was another one of those learning opportunities. So they got everything set up. And so Friday was a free drawing day. Here's one of the things that I like. A lot of the kids were still working on their on DiffusionV. They were still creating things. They were creating things that were appropriate for school. We talked about, does this look real? Would you buy, you know, would you think that this was, quote, real, not done by AI, if you just saw the end result? And the kids were evaluating it and saying, well, it doesn't look this, it looks this. And, you know, look at this area, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it was really great, I thought. And they had some really deep discussions about that. So I was really happy with the project and with the kids. I think they did a really great job with it. So we're going to do some similar things with eighth grade. So that was one way that I was playing with, that I've been playing with AI. So this past week, we, have you had any schools closing because of like illness, because staff is out or anything like that?
Ann Arbor did. Ann Arbor closed three or four schools. One of them was Tappan Middle School. Okay. We know some folks from Tappan. And they closed it simply because the kids are sick. And I've had seven or eight kids out being sick. They're all the ones that have decided that to bring back the cool handshake in the hallway. They weren't here this week.
They weren't here this week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that.
So we've had some schools that have been, their school's been canceled either because there wasn't enough staff members. I think in one case, they closed one of the middle schools and transferred the staff who weren't calling out to another middle school so they could keep, they could run one middle school. Yeah. So I know it's been, you know, it's been an issue. And we had an issue where a lot of our food service people were out. And it was like, great, what do you do? Because, you know, you can't say to the kids, we're going to have in school, but by the way, you can't eat. You know, you kind of can't do that. So a bunch of us volunteered to do it. We asked the parents, we said, you know, we don't have food. We don't have food service people in. We're going to serve lunch, but, you know, if it's possible, if you could send lunch with your child, it would be helpful, right? And the parents and the community did a really, really great job. They all made sure everybody understood, everybody knew why, what was happening and all that. And so I ended up doing lunch duty and had kind of a good time. I spent 12 years doing lunch duty and, you know, it was kind of fun. So so we ran through and did the lunch duty, and that was all cool. And then everybody was back the next day, so we only had to do it for one day. But it worked out really, really well. I can tell you that the kids have some really great lunch boxes now. They have like these little bento boxy things that are all, you know, little portions of different things. And, you know, I saw several of them had kind of the same thing. It's like, that is cool. I need to get one of those. So they had some of that. And then we had a kindergartner who had, I wanted his lunch, man. He had fried rice with scrambled eggs and chicken and sriracha packets. And he wanted the sriracha packets. We opened the sriracha packets and put it in there for him because he wanted the sriracha. It's like, that is pretty, it's pretty cool. I didn't have that advanced of taste buds when I was a kindergartner. So, you know.
I think I still have my Snoopy box somewhere.
Yeah.
Plastic Snoopy lunchbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a good time with that as well.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, let's see here. And then we'll talk about it now. Okay. We've been all right. Playing around. We've been. I chatted with my tech integrators about ChatGPT. And I know lots of people are talking about ChatGPT right now. And ChatGPT, God, that's hard to say, is where you can ask for text to be written and it's artificial intelligence writes something for you. Is that fair as a down and dirty kind of definition? And so, you know, we were talking about, well, why should teachers care about it? And, you know, there's some people that are saying this is the end of it, the essay, and other people saying, no, it's just, you know, you need to know about it. I did do a write-up on my blog about Dave Hamilton from the Mac Geek Gab had shared an experience when he was a sophomore and he used an Apple IIe to write his rough draft. Mm-hmm. And the teacher didn't want to take the, because it wasn't a rough draft because it was typed out. It was a end product. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure if you read this, you're going to see it's a rough draft. And so the point was, you know, technology changes and things change. And there's, you know, the question becomes, is this not an end, but additional information? So instead of thinking of ChatGPT as writing the essay for you, Could you think of it as writing some examples that you could then go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And then, you know, you write it in your own way. Kind of like the spelling correction, right? Like, I don't know if you watch kids or adults type. By the way, seventh graders need a typing class. Desperately. So we're gonna help Phil somehow get that into the line there. But I watch people work frequently because of what I do, and watch the little red line squiggle underneath, watch them click on it and correct it. And people use Grammarly, and a lot of people use Grammarly. And I know there's some school districts that actually purchase Grammarly for staff as well, the premium version of Grammarly, which I find interesting. But, I mean, I watch people do that, and I also live through the whole calculator debate. Can kids use calculators? No, they can't, because they're never going to learn to multiply and divide. And that seems to have gone away. I don't hear that anymore. The kids use calculators all the time. And everybody uses the grammar check and the spelling check on computers now. And I'm wondering if ChatGPT isn't going to be kind of the same thing. Like, well, you're going in this direction, but did you think about this? This is another way of looking at that. And using it more as a brainstorming thing rather than an essay writer. So, I don't know. But we've had a little bit of fun with ChatGPT as well. So, could you use ChatGPT to write test questions? It's like, that's interesting. It's something that is kind of monotonous. To write test questions sometimes. Right?
Yeah.
So could you have it write test questions? And, why not give it a try? And it's free right now, so everybody can use it right now.
I wonder.
Forever.
So we should probably drop a little nugget by saying we've been playing with it this morning. And we kind of know the answer to the question you just asked.
Yes, we do.
And we've had some fun with it. I'm currently helping somebody write some stuff for a medical terminology class. And so I threw that in there just as a way to see if I could, make my life easier. And yes, it will. It'll make my life easier. I wonder... See, here's another thing I wonder, though, is when you put you type your question or you type your thing in a small box, but it really doesn't say there's a limit. I wonder if you put in an article, let's say, or say a paragraph, and you say, please give me test questions about this. You put it in there. All right. And then I wonder what it'll kick out. Now, because we're in a show, I'm not going to test that right now.
Yeah, thank you.
But when the show's over, I might just go do this. I mean, because there's a couple. I mean, we've discovered several different ways we could use ChatGPT.
Yes, we have. What are those? What are some of those ways?
Well, it was posted on Twitter, and we'll talk about when we get to the Twitterverse that some people are writing their lesson plans using ChatGPT. And so I threw something in there that is something that I would teach. And lo and behold, it's not a bad lesson plan. I said, you know what? Give me objectives and give me language objectives.
That was interesting part to me that you added. It did actually do language objectives too.
So... does this mean I could go to an administrator and say, look, when you have me write these objective things, it's monkey work. It's really just pro forma monkey work. Now you're paying me a lot of money to do other things that are much more creative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And right. I'm not going to do that, obviously, but maybe that's the conversation we need to have. I'm not saying objectives are wrong or bad or anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying maybe we need to talk about it. So what do we do? We've generated questions, test questions. We generated a lesson plan. We practiced generating some generic responses to broad general questions. And then submitted those for some things. And, you know, what the state of Michigan doesn't know is can't hurt the state of Michigan, right? So, yeah, no, you ever do those PD evaluation forms? I'll just come out and admit it. I just might as well, right? let's just do it. I'll have myself.
This is why I left it open. And
I know. I'll walk through the door. You know, you ever do those sketch? Nobody ever. I did PD for the district, right? And then they had to write a sketch evaluation form for the PD that I provided to the district, right? Did I ever see any feedback from that, from anybody saying, oh, yeah, your session was this, that, or the other thing? No, I never did. Never got that. Got that back. Now, I don't know if that's a failure. I don't know who that's. It falls on, right? But my guess is that there's probably no, or maybe ChatGPT is reading those PD responses and handles it for everybody. So I thought, well, why not? So I pulled up one of my pending reports or PD vals that I have to do, and I asked ChatGPT to write my responses for me, and it did. And then the form you fill out is online. And when I put it in there, it came back and said, I'm sorry. You're limited to 500 characters. And I was like, sorry about that. Overachieving, you know, I'm your model employee. Yep. Just forgive me a moment. I'll go fix that. So I went back and I told ChatGPT, all right, give me the same thing. Just, I want only 500 characters, no more than 500 characters. It did. And, yeah. Now, that being said, did it say anything that I wouldn't already say if I was, right. No, it didn't. It's just that I didn't have to sit there and bang on 500 keys to get it done.
That's right. And so the question became, so we have been talking about this as far as the scary issue of what are kids going to do with it. And we realized, well, what could we do with it that would benefit us instead of worrying about the scary kids? What could benefit us? And it's like, what if we have it write test questions? You're going to tweak the questions, right? Or at least review them. What if we have it write lesson plans? How close would it come? How well would it do? And then you could tweak it and again, it might be things that were like, oh, hey, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. Or, you know, maybe it just saves you from doing some of the generic kind of typing part of this. So, let your mind wander a little bit here. Like, where is it? where is it that you've got to write reflection pieces or things like that? Oh.
I got plans for second semester. Let me tell you, I got plans. And you know what? If I can say limit it to 500 characters, can I also say no less than X number of words?
Yeah.
Right. Because as far as I know, on some of these forms that teachers have to fill out for second semester things, I'm pretty sure there's no limit to the number of words or characters. And, I'm thinking that, you know, if people are going to assign this stuff, they ought to read it. I I know that's pie in the sky ain't going to happen, but, you know, a guy can dream.
So really what we're saying here is we think like middle schoolers.
Oh, we do. I mean, you know, it's just like the musical, right? By your students, you will be taught. You become your students, right?
So we have had a, we've been having a very fun and informative time this morning with.
Did I learn a lot this morning? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I got plans. Oh my goodness, I got plans. You know what? Who needs to buy a textbook, right? I'll just throw this thing in there. Hey, Mr. McGregor, where'd you get this? Yeah, you don't worry about that. Just study it, and it's going to be a test. By the way, I didn't write those questions either. You know, hey, what's your curriculum? My curriculum can be summarized in just one short phrase.
There you go. So let's think this through. So what if you had... So what if you use ChatGPT to write a textbook, quote unquote, make it an open textbook, have the ChatGPT write the questions.
Well, and then you put an avatar in there as the author. So, you know,
then you use, of course, you use Diffusion Bead to say, create a picture of a book author who has written. That is, I like it. You could also use it to create the book cover.
Guess what I was doing while you were doing the intro?
Oh, man.
She's cute, by the way, the author. And I didn't say it had to be a female or anything. I just said, give me an. Yeah. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
I got plans. I mean, you know.
I got plans.
I feel that there's a Moodle course coming here soon. I might even. So I'm working with the nurse on I'm building some curriculum stuff, right? And I'm thinking it's going to be written by Nurse Ratchet.
Good old Nurse Ratchet.
Yep. Anyway, so.
Okay. Dear. So we have been having a good time with it. We hope that you have a good time with it. And if you have come up with a creative way or some creative examples, send them along to us. We'd love to see them and hear them and all that good stuff. So. So we're going to add in textbooks here. Oh. Sorry, just adding to the show notes. So the show notes are available over at middleschoolmatters.com, which are pretty complete, but sometimes we go off target. We do try to capture those. One thing that is on target, though, is the Fediverse or the Twitterverse. Fediverse.
Yeah, I'm still. So I turned on my Fediverse Mastodon feed, and then I found myself actually touching the screen to see if I can't just slow it down just a little bit. So I'm still working my way through that. I know I can.
There's also more time. There's a tick box that you can select that will slow the feed, the federated feed down. Just FYI.
So, yeah, and then things that go TikTok, you know, just generally make me nervous. Where were we here? Sorry. Twitterverse, Fediverse, here we go. So I picked up a map from Terrible Maps. Terrible Maps are good folks, and they have a map of the continent of Africa. And all the parts that are green are where they order food for here. And then there's this one part that's in red, and that's the part that orders, that's to go. And it's actually the country of Togo. Mm-hmm. But then, you know what? Kids will enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. I sent it to the sixth grade geography teacher this morning, and she wrote back and she goes, "This is great. I'm using it." So that's not her actual voice. That's going to get used on Monday. Bethany Smith has a fantastic afternoon session on all the different ways to use H5P. And I included her graph her graphic, and I'll probably expand it here after the show to make it a little easier to read. But it's a nice little picture that has all the wonderful tools of H5P on it that can be used in your classroom. All the different things. It's a cool little board that she's made. So I threw that in there, and you can click the hashtag MootGlobal22 to kind of chase that down. Gretchen at Off Grid Teacher. Dear school administrators, during the week before Christmas, please don't make informal observations, document student behavior, and then make teachers create an action plan in response. Speaking from experience today. Yes, we had something come down, a change. We have to do, change teacher behavior. This week, change teacher behavior the last week before break, and then we have 2 weeks to forget what we're supposed to do when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just a little, well, yeah. All sunshine and rainbows at DSTEM, STEM underscore teach. And this is what kind of got me going on this whole thing was I found out ChatGPT can write lesson plans. And I thought to myself, no way. And it turns out, yes way. So, So here's the thing. If you can actually generate some decent lesson plans, I mean, there are some actual paid websites out there that are just going to go nuts because you don't need them. Just do that. I mean, talk about a disruptor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but we digress. Susie Dent at Susie underscore Dent. Word of the day. There were more days. This is one I picked. All right, so here you go. Here's your word for the day. Use this one at work, all right? Word of the day is thermopot. It's a 16th century word. It means one who downs a prolific amount of hot drinks. So I don't know if we could classify Troy likes coffee, so he might be a thermopot.
I do like coffee.
There you go. Troy is a thermopot.
Well, coffee's cold now, though.
Well, I think it's about the drinker in this case. Yes.
Okay.
Kim Scheinberg. I don't remember putting this one in. This is you.
So Kim Scheinberg over at Kim's at Kim's at mass.2. This is from the Fediverse. This is not a chart depicting Moore's law. This is a chart of the Crayola corollary, which shows that the number of Crayola, and then Moore's law is doubles every speed and blah, 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 doubles every 18 months. The number of Crayola crayons colors doubles approximately every 18 years. So it's a neat chart of the Crayola crayons, you know? I did see, I am still thinking about this. But somebody with everything that's going on with Twitter right now, there's somebody who posted that sending teachers to Twitter for PD is what was the word? I'd have to look it up. Malpractice, basically.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that, but the point was education is under such an attack right now from so many places, like things you can say, can't say, things you can do, can't do, and you know, Oklahoma is saying you no longer need to have a college degree, and that a lot of this is being supported and coming from Twitter. Kind of thing. So that was kind of the premise of it. And I like Mastodon better. Not better. I like Mastodon. I liked Mastodon. I like the concept of Mastodon. It takes away the ability of one person who you may not have the same agreement, same worldview of. And with Mastodon, it's basically open source social networking. So it's more of what you want versus, and you have a lot of control over what you see and don't see. So I like that. And I will say that, you know, I disagree with a lot of misinformation and a lot of the attacks that are going on now on the Twitter, which is really sad because I liked Twitter for a long time, but recent changes. So anyway, this is from the Fediverse, and there's a lot of good stuff there. So that's what I got. You can also use, by the way, can also use RSS. You can create an RSS feed from anybody that you follow on the Fediverse, anybody on ActivityPub. You can use RSS, just add .rss to the end of their feed, and you can follow them. So you could use like NetNewsWire to follow somebody. You don't actually have to. There's a lot of options there, a lot of fun. So, okay. So anyway. Is MS Chat still going on or no?
So MS Chat has turned into more of a thread than it has a scheduled thing every Thursday at 8 p.m. I probably should change this in the show notes, but do keep out for things. People are still posting to MS Chat, but it's not, as far as I know, it's not doing an organized thing every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Todd Block does do post a lot of things about it, and there's a lot of other contributors to that thread. So don't forget MS Chat thread in Twitter, and I'm sure there's something like it in the Federated social media of planets
in the Fediverse. I should check. I will check as we're doing this. I am going to search for MS Chat, which I doubt is there.
Me too. I don't think Todd's gone over there yet. He would have said something, I think.
So it is not. Does not show up as a hashtag yet.
Okay.
And the Fediverse and Mastodon particularly is very much based on hashtags. You can search for hashtags there. And you can follow hashtags very easily. If you're familiar with TweetDeck, which when I went to conferences, that's when I learned about TweetDeck. And then, you know, you can create little columns. Like I am following H5P. The hashtag H5P, because you get there's a lot of really good stuff with H5P. I might be following one that is pound Moodle or hashtag Moodle. And then also EduGlow and EduTutors.
Oh.
So.
Is that the King Henry VIII?
So this is not that spelling of tutors, but you know, Will Richardson is on there. So there's a lot of good stuff, and it's a good way to find people that you want to follow as well. Because again, with the Fediverse, you're in charge. It's not like there's an algorithm that says, hey, check out this. Hey, check out this. But Larry Ferlazzo is over there. Of course, Larry Ferlazzo is over there. Because, you know, Larry Ferlazzo is everywhere doing everything. Still don't know how he does that. So, yeah. All right. We have some strategies as well. There are some classroom games to make student learning fun. And this one I'm going to cite on is 24 classroom games. And ooh, you might ask, why play games? And they have reason number one is it prevents burnout. And I will say that probably if you just play games all the time, it's going to, you know, create burnout from the games. But, you know, variety. It's all about variety. It meets the needs for students to have fun and to belong. Kids like playing games. Adults like playing games. It's kind of a universal.
ChatGPT will let you play games with.
Some of us are playing different games than others.
Oh, dear.
It reinforces academic concepts through retrieval practice. I see a lot about retrieval practice at this point. So, definitely a good thing to check out. and they have a list of 24, because it's right there in the title, of games. So things like Act It Out, Show Me, like Simon Says, Beach Ball Questions, Concentric Circles. They call it Speed Dating / Line Dance. I'm not sure I'd use that. I'd call it like Speed Learning or something, but, you know. Tableaus.
Oh, Tableau.
Yeah, what Sean said. Museum statues, or what Sean said.
I say it, not the correct pronunciation, but I've had my kids do Tableau as a way of representing, take an historical scene or a historical event. They create a Tableau, and then somebody explains, and then they it's a really cool way of getting your body into understanding a piece of. You can do it with literature, you can do it with history. I love Tableau. Sorry.
Yeah.
No,
it's good.
Tableau.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If guess the number, I'm sorry, guess the object. The alphabet game. They've got freeze tag. Don't know about that one. The kids are not allowed. I've heard of many schools where the kids are not allowed to play tag because of things that happen. Kind of where do you stand? Heads up. But there's a description of each of these over on the link here, which again, middleschoolmatters.com. You can pick that up. So check that out. And then, go ahead, Sean, and continue on with the you need ChatGPT, just don't tell admin.
Oh, yeah. So, continuing our little thing with that. So I did a thing. All right. I wanted a short, quote unquote, article on differentiated instruction. So, and I want to put that in that incredibly long Charlotte Daniels form you have to fill out after an observation. Because all of a sudden I had to explain every single little thing I was doing in a lesson plan. And I thought, I've been teaching for 25 years. If I wasn't good, I'd be gone by now. So I did it. And I thought to myself, okay, I spent 10 hours doing this and I could have been doing anything else for my classroom. So I got that. I've been thinking like, how can I streamline and make this, better?
Yes.
So I found it. It's called ChatGPT, right? So I'm going to put that incredibly long Daniel's form, as we filled out after an observation. I'm going to put that to good use. So it asked me about differentiated instructions. So I asked ChatGPT to give me a thing, an article, a piece of writing, something. It said on differentiated instruction. And so it did. And I put a picture of, I took a snapshot of what it looks like. And I put that in the show notes. And this is definitely going to get used the next time I have to fill out. you make me fill it out. I'm going to fill it out. So differentiated instruction is a teaching approach that involves tailoring instruction to meet the unique needs of and abilities of individual students within a classroom. This can be done in a variety of ways, including adjusting the content, process, product, and learning environment to better meet the needs of individual students. In a middle school social studies classroom, a teacher might use differentiated instruction by, number one, varying the content, and then it goes through and gives me, number two, adjusting the process. And it gives me, you know, all this stuff. And then at the end, it gives me a little conclusion paragraph. By using differentiated instruction, teacher can ensure that students are able to access and engage with the material, regardless of their individual needs and abilities. It's great for forms.
It's great for the forms.
Yeah. So I also created a sample lesson on Athenian democracy. I said, ChatGPT, give me a lesson on Athenian democracy. And I want a learning objective and I want a language objective. So it did. It gave me a learning objective and it gave me a language objective. So there you go. A tool for you to, I'm going to use air quotes, use.
So, yes. You're going to need to change the link slightly. You need to give permission for the document on Athenian democracy.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out how to do that without putting it in the show, but it's in the show now and I'm not going to take it out. So you just got to go to the document and make it available for anyone with the link, and the copy thing will work. So resources, Tom Lehrer, you're familiar with Tom Lehrer, correct? He is a musician who has written extensively. The one that I'm really familiar with is New Math. And he is a musician, and he also writes some things that are pretty humorous. And he has said, I, Tom Lehrer, and the Tom Lehrer Trust of 2007, hereby grant the following permissions. All copyrights to lyric or music written or composed by me have been relinquished, and therefore such songs are now in the public domain. So he has made all of his songs available for downloading. You can feel free to copy the lyrics, copy the songs. The songs do download as an RAR file, so you may have to convert them into a zip file. It's a RAR file, which is have a way of compressing them and making them smaller. But yeah, you can perform these. These are part of the public domain. He has made all of his material public domain. You might want to check out the Slide Rule song. There's a lot of social studies stuff involved as well. Check it out. It is 100% free. He does mention that this website will be shut down some date in the not too distant future. So if you want to download anything, don't wait too long. The nice thing is as long as somebody downloads it, since it's public domain, they could put it in other places and make it available as well. But if you are a Tom Lehrer fan, or if you just want the songs and you want to listen to some of his stuff, it is absolutely free. And again, part of the public domain. Gotta love seeing that. It is almost report card time. Is it report card time for you guys? Did you send out your report cards?
Progress reports. Send out progress reports. Yep.
So this is a designed for parents. The five best tips for the best five tips for managing a disappointing report card with your child. So this is a resource that you can share with parents. And this is from Sharon Celine, and it's over on intrepidnews.com, but we have a link on our page that will go there. And the five ways include listen first, ask questions after. Two, set realistic goals for the next quarter or trimester. Three, make sure adequate support is in place. Four, avoid punishment and use logical consequences. And five, set up an effective routine for studying at home. So if you're looking for something you can share with parents, this might be a good link to share with them. So one of the other things that I was doing over the last little bit is I was looking for materials and standard ebooks is free and liberated ebooks carefully produced for the true book lover. And these are free of U.S. copyright restrictions, free of costs, and they've kind of cleaned things up and made them like nicer. They've kind of taken a lot of some of the things from Project Gutenberg, and made sure that they have a consistent and modern typography. They do proofing, and they include metadata. They also use state of the art technology to make sure that there's hyphenated support, hyphenation support. There's pop up footnotes. It's nice and clean. So you can, if you're looking for some ebooks for kids, this is a neat way to get some of the things available in a nice, nice method. So, the wonderful Dave Bidlowski also sent along some work that his science exploration group did. And this was a Pictionary game for science. So I thought that was a lot of fun. So I have made it into a document that is shareable, and I have shared the document. It's based off of, it's similar to Pictionary, can be used to reinforce and review terminology. And I may have to clean up some of the formatting of things. So, but I'm working on it. So I have a feeling that they've sent it along from, I think at some point in its life, it was a PDF. I think that's where Dave copied and pasted. So, so we greatly appreciate it. And it's just a couple of things. I have a thing about using headings and making things accessible. So it's one of my, no, I got to do this. I got to make sure it's accessible. And then there is a project called Felt over at felt.com. This is, quote, the best way to make maps on the internet. I have not played around with this a lot, so a little bit of a caveat. And it says try Felt for free, so I don't know at what point you have to pay. But if you're looking at making maps, you might want to check this out. They have some things that look pretty cool, and somebody that I trust sent it along to me as well. So, and what it says is, it says that Felt is free to use for individuals. In the future, we'll be introducing team-based features that come for a monthly fee. So right now it's free, and it says it's going to be free for individuals. And they have some neat example maps. But if you teach social studies, or I can see a whole bunch of different ways, if you're creating stories, and if you're having kids create stories, they could create maps that may go along with it. So I just thought I would share that link as well. And we need to do a little bit of culture translating here.
Ooh, yeah, I think you might like that. Culture Translator, Axis, the Culture Translator, has a couple things this week. I say couple, I mean three. Wish posting. Have you heard wish posting being thrown around your building at all?
I have not, but I am not surprised at this one at all.
Yep. So young people are sharing their holiday wish lists via TikTok under the hashtag Christmas Wish List 2022. The key to here, though, is that they're wishing for things that they don't necessarily have uses for. They're things that they would like to have in the future, right? So middle school kids are wishing for fancy cars. Obviously, they can't use them right now. But what they're doing is they're wishing for things, you know, farther out into the future. So that seems to be what wish posting is going around on TikTok. So if you hear it, now you know what they're talking about. This one threw me until I read about it, but this goes back to your comment about your joke about livers. Did you know that Big Liver lies? And I didn't even know Big Liver was organized, but did you know that Big Liver lies?
I actually did hear this, but I don't remember where I heard this one. So,
well, there's a bodybuilding influencer known as the Liver King. That's probably where you heard it.
Yeah. And I heard the controversy around it.
Yeah. He advocates for an animal based diet. And he finally admitted that his muscular physique is from steroids. So the kids are talking about that. This was gross when we first talked about it and it's back. Pilkmus. Are you familiar with Pilkmus? I had forgotten about
that. I am not familiar, but I did read the show notes, and yeah.
No. Yeah. So when Lindsay Lohan created a viral trend in a Pepsi ad where she is featured drinking a concoction of Pepsi and milk, a drink known as Pilk. Apparently it's coming back, and kids are doing it. And according to some gastronomists, it's actually good, Pepsi and milk together. I've not tried it. That's something I'm just going to have to talk my head into. If I'm going to try it, I'm going to have to turn off the part of my brain that says, this is a bad idea. You should. But, you know, yeah. I teach middle school, so, you know, that part of my brain is really small. You've got an interesting graphic here. What is this graphic?
So this is, if you take the world's economy and you put it into essentially I think they were aiming for a soccer ball. What does that look like? Like, where is the 100 trillion global economy? And they do it in one chart. And it is, you will be probably not surprised that the U.S. is the largest chunk of that. But it's kind of neat to take a look at which countries have the largest GDP. That's gross domestic product. The U.S. has been the world's largest economy since 1871. So it's just kind of a neat chart. And especially if you teach social studies or economics, you might want to take a look. There's like one of the things that I was like, you know, growing up, it was the United States and Russia. And so it's fun to go, okay, where's Russia on this chart? And, you know, kind of looking around. I will give you a hint that the United States and China are very easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Japan was somewhat surprising for me. I don't know why. Their economy is bigger than Germany, which I would have predicted, would not have predicted that their economy would be quite so large. So yeah, there's some things that I just think are, you know, kind of fascinating about the chart. So I thought I'd share that with you. And you would like to share a saga.
Yeah. So we talked about in the past about Angel Studios. They created VidAngel, where they take the objectionable content out of regular videos so that you could show it in like your classroom, right? So you don't have to worry about running into that one scene where that thing happens that might cause you to have a career change. Well, they also have a studio called Angel Studios, where they crowdsource and crowdfund TV shows, movies, that sort of thing. And the largest crowdfunded TV show is the Wingfeather Saga. It's taken from a book by the same name. The book has four books, three volumes. I don't think there'll be any more. And it's been crowdsourced. And the first season is done. The second episode dropped on Friday, and they're going to drop it about every 2 weeks or so. It's a cool story. It's good for kids. It's very kid friendly. I like it. My nephews like it. I think you'd like it too. I put a link to the YouTube link in the section in the show notes, so you can click that and go straight to their channel on YouTube. And they've got previews. They've got interviews. If you have a kid who's interested in that sort of thing, they also do some behind the scenes stuff where they say, so this is how we made this and this is how we did that. So it's kind of a cool pull the curtain back and take a look thing too. So Wingfeather Saga.
And a cool way to take a look back at the links that we've talked about is to head over to middleschoolmatters.com. And of course, if you are into the holiday sharing, share the show with friends. And you know, maybe over the holidays, if they get a little break, they can catch up on past shows that they have missed. And we appreciate that. We would also would appreciate it if you head over to the podcatcher of your choice and give us a 5-star rating. Tell us why Sean is the world's greatest show host. We would greatly appreciate that as well. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.